The Word of God presents us as we really are. And we see the hidden things that we've tucked away. We see the wickedness and the dark areas of our heart and of our life. And the Word of God shows those to us very clearly. And that's why sometimes it can be very scary for us to come face to face with the truth and see who we really are. And James said in James chapter 1 and verse 25, he said, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man," he says, "shall be blessed in his deeds." So James adds on to this. He says, if you come face to face with the truth, he goes, there's going to be a blessing for you in that. If you really confront yourself in the Word of God, God can bless you through that. Because there's change that comes about when we come face to face with the truth. If we let God work, He'll bless us. In Psalm 1, the first three verses, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." He comes face to face with that truth on a continual, regular basis. It says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And the psalmist says there's prospering. There's growth in coming face to face with the truth. But we know, don't we, that there's pain on the path to that blessing and to that growth. And we understand that our flesh is going to get hurt. That sinful part of us is going to get hurt in this process as we come face to face with the truth. And so truth can be scary. Truth can hurt us. But truth's path always leads to blessing and to God prospering our life. And in John chapter 18, as we're going to read verses 12 down through 40, in John chapter 18, at the trial of Jesus Christ, everyone comes face to face with the truth. And we're going to look at the Pharisees, we're going to look at Peter, and we're going to look at Jesus Christ. And they come face to face with the truth. They're confronted with the truth, but not everyone handles it the same way. Not everybody responds the same way. And I want to see those three different responses as people come face to face with the truth. So we're going to start reading in verse 12. "Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So there were these three different responses as we look at these different groups, as they're confronted with the truth. And the first response I want to see tonight is that the Pharisees tried to destroy the truth. The Pharisees tried to destroy the truth. Now this really was a culmination of 3 years of them hating Jesus Christ. And hating all that Jesus Christ taught, all that he stood for, of them hating him. And it was really coming to a conclusion at this point where they said, we're going to take some serious action against this man to destroy him. We want to kill Jesus Christ. And Matthew records Jesus Christ looking at the disciples and saying, Woe unto you, right? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. And they wanted to destroy Jesus Christ because the truth condemned them. The truth condemned them, right? When they came face to face with what Jesus Christ was saying, the truth of what he was teaching, they saw in that a condemnation of who they were as individuals and even as a group. In what they had given their lives to, in many ways, it was a condemnation of that. And in John chapter 3, And verse 19, Jesus said, This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John would say, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And these Pharisees, they love their darkness rather than light. And when they saw Jesus Christ, when they saw the light of the world, it revealed to them just how dark their darkness was. And so like he said in John chapter 3, he said, they don't want to come to the light because they will be reproved, because they will be shown to be wicked and unrighteous by God's definition. And as Jesus Christ taught and as he dealt with these Pharisees, it showed them how empty their self-righteousness was. And all the righteousness that they tried to gather around themselves, it really revealed how hypocritical that was. And I want us to look in Matthew chapter 23. If you go back there with me, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27. Matthew 23, 27. Here's what one of the examples of what Jesus Christ would say to them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It's like, have you ever seen someone walking around and they're wearing a sports jersey, right? It's got the name and the number on the back. And imagine if you walked up to one of those people who are dressed like an athlete, and you started asking them about their statistics and, you know, whatever sports team, right? If they were in football, you say, you know, how many touchdowns have you gotten this year? And they're like, None, you know. And you're like, well, I mean, maybe your defense. Did you get any sacks this year? They're like, no, I didn't get any sacks. Or if they're baseball, you're like, you know, what's your batting average? And they're like, it's zero, you know. And you start asking them all these statistics, and they're just like, no, nothing. You know, I none this year. It wouldn't take very long before you start to suspect that they're not really playing for that sports team. And you're like, I think they're just wearing a jersey. I don't think they're actually playing the sport. And we would come to that conclusion. And it's like here in the Gospels, it's like Jesus Christ was pointing out that these Pharisees, they were just wearing the garments of righteousness. They were dressed to look righteous. And he was pointing out to them and to those that saw them, they're not really righteous. They're just looking righteous. And he had a point in this. It wasn't just to tear the Pharisees down. It was to show the true way to righteousness, that Jesus Christ was the way. But he was revealing to them who they truly were as he taught them. And because of how they had lived their lives, it was a rebuke and it was condemnation for these Pharisees. And all that they were and all that they had built up was in fact unrighteousness. And Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, and I'll read this, the first three verses, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Paul knew this from experience. And he said, they're trying. And there's this zeal there, but they're not doing it the right way. And he says they're going about constructing and crafting their own righteousness, but not God's righteousness. And Jesus Christ showed them that. When they came face to face with the truth, they saw that. They saw this condemnation of who they were. And they saw that the standard that they had been using for righteousness was not the right standard. And we have to ask ourselves that question. How am I determining righteousness? What's my standard for righteousness? Oftentimes we can use our potential unrighteousness as our standard. And we could say, you know what? Maybe you don't like some of the things that I've said, but if you knew the things that I didn't say, right? The things that I thought but I didn't say, then you wouldn't think so bad of me. Or if you knew all the things that I could do and that I wanted to do but I haven't done, then you'd think I'm a good person. And we can use like how bad we could be, but we really aren't. And if we use that as our standard of righteousness, we could use other people. We could look at other people and say, you know what, I'm not doing what that person's doing, and I'm not going where they're going. I'm not saying what the things sort of things that they say. I don't believe what they believe. And we can use that as to determine our righteousness. We could use our feelings and say, I feel like I'm a righteous person. I feel like I'm a good person. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the standard for our righteousness. And the Pharisees saw that. And they were confronted with that truth. The righteousness is by Jesus Christ. His righteousness applied to us. And they saw that. And they were confronted with that. And in that, it carried their condemnation. So they said, we need to destroy this. But they didn't respond that way just because of condemnation, but also because the truth changes things. And they understood this, that if they went the way of the truth, the way of Jesus Christ, it was going to change some things in their life. And so they responded by wanting to destroy the truth, destroy Jesus Christ. And we understand, and the Bible teaches, that the truth changes. The truth changes us, right? The truth changes you. It's going to change how you view yourself, right? When we talk about righteousness, it's going to change how you view yourself. And our mind is very quick to accept, to believe itself and to accept its own narrative. And it's quick to accept that we are good people. But the Bible says we're all sinners. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And truth is going to change you to see yourself that way. So that you view yourself as a sinner. So that you view yourself in need of the grace of God. That you are not fine on your own. That you are not good by yourself, but you are a sinner and that you need God's mercy and God's grace in your life. It's going to change your view of yourself. It's also going to change your view of other people. It's going to change how you see others. And you're going to start to see that you're no better than anybody else. And that other people don't need God's grace more than you do. It starts to level the playing field. And the truth changes you, how you see yourself and how you view other people. And for the Pharisees to admit that Jesus Christ was right, it would have really destroyed their way of living, because it would have changed some things. They had built this hierarchy of righteousness based on what they did and how they looked. And Jesus Christ said, there is none righteous. He said, we're all sinners in need of salvation. And the Pharisees looked at Jesus Christ and they saw that truth. They heard that truth and they knew that if they followed that and if they believed that truth, they would be condemned and that they would have to change. And they didn't want that. And so their response was, we're going to destroy it. We're going to try and kill the truth. We're going to try and silence Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 26, and if you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 57. In Matthew 26, in this passage, there's a little more detail that's added to the trial of Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 57, and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off and off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came and found, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto them, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. And they tried to stop Jesus Christ, and they bring before him these, and it's interesting. The high priest calls them in verse 65 witnesses. Matthew multiple times refers to them as false witnesses. And, you know, when the high priest was going through this trial, he wasn't there going, hey, we need some more false witnesses. No, they called them witnesses, but Matthew says it like it is. They were false witnesses trying to make up things about Jesus Christ. They were looking for ways to disqualify the truth and to justify what they were trying to do to this truth. But they had motives, underlying motives for this. And they were trying to wrap all of this in a covering of justice and doing things according to the law. But they were just trying to silence Jesus Christ and to destroy the truth. But they cannot and they could not destroy truth. They were able to kill Jesus Christ. They put him to death on that cross, but it didn't stop the truth. And even though we can try and destroy the truth in our life, we cannot stop it, because it is always true and we will always know that. So the Pharisees, they came face to face with the truth of who Jesus Christ was. And here at the trial, they said, we need to destroy it. We need to destroy the truth and kill Jesus Christ. But I also want to see back in John chapter 18, I want to see Peter's response. And I want us to read, and starting in verse 15, down through verse 18, and then 25 through 27, these two different responses of Peter. In verse 25, or verse 15, excuse me, it says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made their fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them, and warmed himself. Verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. So Peter's response was really twofold. It was to distance himself from the truth and then to deny the truth. Peter started by trying to put some space between him and the truth. Have you ever been told, listen, I just, maybe you've even said this, I just need some personal space. I just need my personal space, right? I need a little, maybe a time to myself. I need just, you know, to take a step back from someone. You know, you're maybe the type of person that doesn't like hugs, right? That just the idea of someone being that close, right? And putting their arms around you. You're like, let's just, you know, high five or something. You know, let's do something that we can do from a little further away, right? And you're like, social distancing, that's perfect, right? I'm so thankful that we have to be a little further apart. Maybe you're that sort of person. Peter here, he was distancing himself from the truth. Matthew says that Peter followed afar off, right? He didn't follow right close with Jesus Christ as he normally would have as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But he made this choice to put a little space between him and Jesus Christ. And Peter did that because he was aware of his connection to the truth. Peter was aware that he was connected to the truth and had been connected to the truth. And he was connected to the truth because he had believed it, because he had made this choice to believe in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, in verse 69, we remember Peter made this epic statement of faith in who Jesus Christ was. John 6, 69. And we believe, Peter said, and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had accepted a truth that many others hadn't accepted, that many others hadn't believed, or held with some reservations, or with some doubts. Many people just flat out did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. Peter had heard this. He had seen Jesus Christ, and Peter had said, I believe. He made that choice that all of us need to make, to believe in Jesus Christ. He had made that choice. And because of that, because he had believed, now the truth had started to make Peter different. There was this change in Peter's life. And right now that change was by, it seems like that change was by association, right? That he was always with Jesus Christ. In Matthew's account that we had read of Peter's denial of Jesus Christ those three times, Matthew points out that over and over those three times it was pointed out that he had been with Jesus Christ. That these people were looking at Jesus or Peter as he warmed himself by that fire, saying, Peter, we saw you with Jesus Christ. We saw that you had been his disciple, that you had spent time with Jesus Christ. And they were looking at Peter and saying, by association, we know that you are with Jesus Christ. We've seen you with him. But later, after Jesus ascends into heaven, later, it would be more that they would see Jesus Christ in Peter, and that was the difference. And that was what they saw in Peter. And I want us to look in Acts chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 3, the chapter before, we're going to be in chapter 4 and verse 13, but in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go to the temple and they heal the lame man, right? That's outside the temple. And he begins to walk and to leap and to praise God. And so in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, as there's some fallout from that, where, you know, the religious leaders don't like that. So in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the boldness of Peter and John to heal this man and to preach about Jesus Christ, It says, when they saw that and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So again, they say, we know that these men are disciples of Jesus Christ. But this time they say, we know they're disciples, not because we have seen them with Jesus, but because we have seen Jesus in them. They said, we've seen the boldness and the knowledge of Peter and John. We've seen that they don't have the spirit of fear, but they have the spirit of power. They have the spirit of love, and they have the spirit of a sound mind. And they saw something not with Peter and John anymore, but in Peter and John that made them go, they're of Jesus Christ. They're his disciples. They've been with Jesus Christ. It was this change that had taken place in Peter's life. And the truth, Jesus Christ had changed Peter. And he had transformed Peter into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Peter was different. There was a difference in Peter. How are you different? How has Jesus Christ changed you? How has he transformed your life through his word? There needs to be this difference. And Peter, in John chapter 18, he was aware of this. He was aware that he was marked as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that he was connected with this truth, that people would look at him and say, you're with Jesus Christ. You're connected to the one that they're trying to try and crucify. And he distanced himself and he starts to deny the truth. And he just starts to deny the truth because he was afraid of the consequences of the truth and the consequences of being connected with the truth. Jesus had warned them before that the world was going to hate them. He said in John chapter 15 and verse 19, I'm going to turn there and read it. He said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. Chapter 15. If you are of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So Jesus Christ had told them this was going to happen. And now Peter is watching as they have arrested Jesus Christ. As they had arrested the one that was his protector. The one that he was trusting in to keep him safe and to be with him through all of this. Right? So he had seen this, and now he was worried about the consequences of if he was seen to be connected with Jesus Christ and with truth, with what Jesus Christ had been teaching. And have you ever worried about what might happen if someone found out that you believed in Jesus Christ or that you were a Christian? Has that ever gone through your mind? Where he said, how are they going to respond? How are they going to treat me if they know who I am? If they know that I go to church? If they know I read the Bible? If they know that I'm a Christian? If they know what I believe, how are they going to treat me? What are they going to think about me? Have you ever worried about what might happen if you let the truth change you? Right? If you let Jesus Christ work in your life, have you ever been maybe a little worried and say, what if God wants me to change this? What if I face that truth and I let myself see myself in the mirror of God's word? I know he's going to want to change some things. And has that ever worried you? Where you said, I'm just not sure if that's what I want to happen. That's where Peter was. So his response was to distance himself and deny the truth. And so he follows afar off, right? He distances himself. And again, this is different from how he would have walked with Jesus Christ before. And the question tonight is, how close are you right now to Jesus Christ? How close are you? If we were to take Bible reading and prayer as sort of this measuring tape to in some way gauge the distance between us and Jesus Christ spiritually, how close would you say you are to Jesus Christ? If you were just honest with yourself, and maybe you'd have to say, you know what, I've really distanced myself. I've put some space between myself and my Savior. But not only did he distance himself, but he denied knowing Jesus Christ. And I think Peter made this this calculation, and maybe he kind of did it quickly or on the fly, and he calculated the cost of staying close to Jesus Christ and admitting his relationship to Jesus Christ. And he did this calculation of the cost, but Peter got it wrong. He didn't come out to the right amount. And you know the saying, right? Measure twice, cut once. And you know that doesn't always happen. There can be times where you measure once and you cut once, and hey, you did it perfectly the first time and you only measured once. You could even eyeball it and there'd be a chance that you'd get it right. But then there's other times where you measure twice and you still get it wrong. And you know you gotta throw out that piece or hope you can fit it in somewhere else, and the next time you're like, I'm gonna measure three times, right? And hopefully cut once. And we can get these sort of things wrong. And Peter made this calculation, but he got it wrong. He came out with the wrong idea. And he calculated that it would cost less for him to deny Jesus Christ than to admit that he knew Jesus Christ. And so three times he said, I don't know who Jesus Christ is. And you know, we don't know what would have happened. We don't know what would have happened if Peter had just admitted it. If he had looked at any of those three people and said, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Either that first one, the second one, or the third one. We don't know, and we can't see what would have happened. We could maybe make some guesses, but we don't know what would have happened if he admitted it. We do know, though, what happened when Peter made this choice to deny his Savior. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75, Matthew records that Jesus Christ made eye contact with Peter, and then Peter went out and wept bitterly. And he shed tears of regret. And that was that cost that Peter paid. And I think Peter, looking back, would say, you know what, I'd never do that again. I'd never deny Jesus Christ again. He made this calculation and said, you know what, it'll cost me far less if I just deny Jesus Christ. If I look at these three people and say, I don't know him, but he got it wrong. And it cost him more to deny Jesus Christ. Denial always looks like a good deal for us, but it always is going to cost us too much. And I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the first verse there, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Look at this next part. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, if the truth is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. When we distance ourselves from the truth, we are also distancing others from the truth. And when we deny the truth, we are also denying others an opportunity to hear the truth. And there's a cost in that. There's a cost not just to us, but also to other people, those that are around us. But look down in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, for God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And Paul was looking at his life saying, you know what, there's a lot of difficulty, he says, that we've gone through. Troubled, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He said, there's a lot of things I've gone through, but he says, I haven't denied Jesus Christ. And he says, I am manifesting the truth. What he said in verse 2, that manifestation of the truth, that showing the truth, that freely admitting the truth. And he calls it in verses 10 and 11, the life of Jesus Christ. So it's not just the words that we say, but it's how we live our life. Our life is that testimony to truth, to Jesus Christ, that we're making manifest to everyone around us. We cannot do that by distancing ourselves from the truth. We cannot do it by denying the truth. And even though we may look at those two options and say, you know what, that looks like a pretty good deal, because I'm a little worried about what might happen. I'm a little worried about what other people might say or what might happen to me if I get close to the truth or if I admit the truth. But the cost is always higher to distance and deny. And we need to embrace the truth and then live out that truth. So the Pharisees, they tried to destroy the truth. Peter said, I'm going to distance myself. I'm going to deny the truth. But then the last thing I want to see is back in John chapter 18, verse 33 through 37, is that Jesus Christ was willing to die for the truth. Jesus Christ was willing to die for the truth. Verse 33. We're going to start there. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus was willing to die for the truth. Now back in John chapter 14, we're familiar with this verse, verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was saying he was that truth. He was the embodiment of the truth. We could say that Jesus Christ contained the truth, if we continue with the letter C here in these points. He contained the truth. He was the truth. He was the source of all this truth. John would say he's the light that came in and shined in this darkness. We could also put it this way. He is the reality of truth. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, John said that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he was making this distinction really between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where the law, the Mosaic law, was a shadow of things to come, where all the sacrifices were a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But Jesus was the reality. He was the truth of those things. It'd be like if you were hungry and I showed you a picture of a roast beef sandwich, or if you were thirsty and I showed you a picture of water. Now, there could be benefit in that. You could say, you know what? I know that there is such a thing as a roast beef sandwich. And if I told you, listen, this picture is, it's sitting somewhere, right? If I told you where this roast beef sandwich was and this glass of water was, you'd say, I maybe don't have it yet, but I know it's there. And now I have hope and I know where I can find it. Right? You don't have it, but you have this. It's giving you hope, right? But then if I actually gave you that roast beef sandwich or that glass of water, that's the reality of this. And that's kind of the idea. There was this picture that was given to the Jewish people in the Old Testament, and they were looking forward to that, and they were trusting in that Messiah. Trusting in that. But now Jesus Christ is saying, I am the truth. I am the reality of all of that. I'm not the shadow. I'm not the picture. I am the actual thing. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he was saying that's who he was. He was the reality of all that had been prophesied and all that had been pictured. But not only did he contain the truth, but also he communicated the truth. He was speaking that truth. And in verse 19 through 21, of John chapter 18, it says in verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. So he asked him two things, right? He said, ask him about his disciples, and I think they were maybe trying to figure out the strength and number of his disciples in regard to maybe some insurrection that Jesus Christ was trying to start or using that in some way. So he asked him about his disciples, then he asked him about his doctrine, all that he was teaching. And Jesus Christ says in verse 20 and 21 that he didn't hide any of this. He didn't teach in secret, but he was openly in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jewish people were teaching them. And he said, it's been very clear and open. Jesus Christ never hid the truth from these people. Everyone knew what he said, and that was his purpose. He came to reveal the truth, because that's what the world needs. That's what everyone needs. That's what we need today, is for the truth to be made manifest and the truth to be revealed. Darkness needs light to come and shine into that darkness. That was also the design for the truth, to be that light that would shine into that darkness. So that was why Jesus Christ came. That was his design. That was his purpose. And that's the same purpose that's then been passed on to us as those who have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are to go and preach the gospel and to be witnesses of Jesus Christ and witnesses of the truth. So Jesus Christ never came to hide the truth, but he was there to communicate the truth. He never denied the truth. He said when Pilate asked him in verse 37, as Pilate and Jesus Christ are discussing this idea of him being a king, Pilate finally comes down to it in verse 37. And he says, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king," which was their way of saying, yes. It was this statement of affirmation. Like, you've said it and it's true. You said it and you are right. So he plainly declares to Pilate that he is this king, and he says, that's why I'm here, right? But again, he clarifies in verse 36, he's making sure that Pilate understands, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, I'm not here to make my disciples fight against Rome. He said, I'm not here to do this. Because he was making sure that Pilate understood the truth, what the truth really was. That Pilate was clear on this before he then said, yes, I am a king. He wanted to make sure Pilate understood this. But why didn't he just deny this? Maybe we could say, you know what? Why didn't he just deny it on a technicality? Pilate was thinking, was asking him, are you an earthly king, right? Are you here to set up an earthly kingdom? And Jesus Christ could have said, well, no, right? I'm not a king according to how you think. And maybe on a technicality, Jesus Christ could have denied this. And maybe we could have found a reason to say, that was fine. But Jesus Christ responds the way that he did. In being very clear and open and communicating this truth, because he was willing to die for the truth. And he understood that this was God's plan for him to die for the truth. And when we talk about the cost, even when we talked about Peter, the cost for Jesus Christ was for him to give his life by being this truth, by what he said that made these Pharisees upset, by speaking this truth. It was bringing about his death on the cross, and he willingly paid that price so that we could freely receive the truth. Jesus Christ gave everything for the truth. He gave everything for the truth. And what does that say then about the gospel? What does that communicate to us about how precious the gospel is? How precious the word of God is if Jesus Christ gave his all? So three groups came face to face with the truth. Face to face with the truth. The Pharisees said, we need to destroy this because it condemns us. And we don't want it to change things. We need to destroy it. Peter said, you know what? I need a little distance. And I'm just going to deny it. I'm afraid of what people are going to say. I'm afraid of the cost of this. Jesus Christ was very open with who he was. And he spoke the truth, and Jesus Christ said, I'm willing to give everything for the truth. I'm willing to die for the truth. So when you've had opportunity to come face to face with the truth, as you've spent time in the Word of God, under the preaching of the Word of God, and with the Holy Spirit working in your heart to bring these out to you, what has been your response to the truth? How have you responded? Have you tried to destroy it? And maybe you said, you know what, if I don't have to face it, then I won't have to deal with the condemnation. I won't have to deal with the conviction that I know is going to be placed upon my heart. I'm not going to have to deal with that if I just don't face it. And for you, that could be the rejection of Jesus Christ. You saying, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to trust him as my Savior. I'm just going to ignore Jesus Christ. Have you tried to distance yourself from the truth? Maybe you've said, I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to do these sort of things so that the truth won't have any effect upon my life. And you say, you know what? I know what Jesus Christ is going to say to me. I know if I get in the Word of God, He's going to tell me that I'm not doing things that are right. And I know He's going to tell me that I need to stop doing this. I know He's going to tell me that I need to start doing that. And I know what Jesus Christ is going to try to do in my life. So He said, I'm just going to distance myself from that. I'm just not going to spend time reading the Word of God. I'm going to try and keep my distance from the truth so that I don't have to face what I know Jesus Christ is going to want to change in my life. Maybe you've tried to deny it. You said, I'm not going to share with other people. I'm not going to admit around other people who I am and what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And I'm not going to share. I'm going to hide who I am, and I'm going to try and avoid what I think are the consequences of someone else finding out who I am. I'm going to deny it. Or has your response been like Jesus Christ to say, I'm willing to die for the truth. And we could put it this way. I'm willing to give everything in pursuit of the truth. I'm willing to give everything to embrace the truth. I'm willing to give everything to live the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And tonight, God wants to bring us face to face with the truth. And He wants us to confront who we are in the mirror of His Word. And He wants us to see that truth. And we know that it's going to show us really that the worst part of who we are. And we know that we're going to have to face the wickedness of who we are in the mirror of God's Word. Because that's what truth does. It doesn't pull any punches with us. It doesn't lie to us about who we are. It's going to show us that. But if we come face to face with the truth, God does that so He can bring out His best in us. So He can work His best in us. And we understand that there's blessing in that. And there's prosperity, that God has a work that He's trying to do in us through the truth. And you will be different. You will be different because of what Jesus Christ does through the truth, through the Word of God. You are going to be different. And that's a good thing, because that's what God wants. And God only wants His best for us. So don't try and destroy it. Don't try and distance yourself. Don't try and deny the truth. But instead, it needs to be for us as believers to say, I want to come face to face with the truth. I want God to confront me in His Word. I want to spend more time with God in His Word. And then I'm willing to give everything. I'm willing to give everything for the truth, like Jesus Christ did, so that God can change me, so that I can be different, so that the life of Jesus Christ can be made manifest in my life. Let's close with prayer.